So, we were listening to the track called Buoyancy from the release, the disc Derivations by Ben Curry. And I have now Ben on the phone all the way from Australia. Hi, Ben.
Hi, hello. Thanks for having me on.
Really great to have you. It's evening in Australia, isn't it?
That's right. Yeah, it's quarter to 11 p.m. Yeah, we've just changed to daylight saving times. It's nearly our summer.
Ooh.
Getting warm.
Getting warm, yeah. And even more confusing with the times and everything.
Absolutely, yeah.
So,
but here I am. I made it.
Well, brilliant. So we were just discussing, this is a CD that, oh, this is a release that was made entirely with a autonomous electronic system that is autonomously interacting with a live performer. Have I understood it correctly?
Yep, you certainly have. Yeah. So this piece of software is called Derivations, and it's something I've been working on for the past few years, and it's a piece of software that in each one of the tracks, they're all recorded in different times and places. Some of them were in studio recordings, others were actually live performances that were recorded.
And they're all by different performers as well, yeah.
That's right, yeah, exactly. So two of them are myself, one's with soprano saxophone and another with tenor. And then I've got Joshua Hyde, who you just heard there, alto saxophone player, Australian, who's based in Paris, and then Alana Blackburn, who's playing the tenor recorder, as well as Antoine Lang, a fantastic vocalist from Switzerland, and finally a drummer called Evan Dorian, who's now based in Sydney. Yeah.
So how does the software work?
Yeah, so the software listens to what a performer's doing. It does a whole bunch of analysis of what the performer's doing, so it makes its own, estimation of what a phrase is, what a musician's phrase is, and then gets some information about the kind of sound quality that's going on in the improviser's playing, and then it stores that information and it looks in a database of information that it's stored from previous rehearsals or throughout the actual improvisation itself, and it finds material that it's already got recorded or that it's currently recording to kind of bring back and manipulate and modulate.
So it is recording the live performer as the performance goes on.
That's right, exactly. So in the track that you just heard then, I didn't have that particular, well, Josh didn't actually have that particular part of the software enabled, because we'd already developed a corpus of material that could interact with him. So that the vocabulary of the system was kind of set, but in a lot of performances, the software will actually listen and record at the same time. So it's kind of like, a souped up kind of live sampling way of doing things, where it's taking from the musician, it's actually kind of relating back to things that are similar or different to what they've played, rather than looping things. Yeah.
And it stores the information from previous sessions then?
Yeah, it can. So what Josh is actually a really good example. He's been really a really big part of the development of the software, because we've worked together quite a bit. We actually studied together, Josh and myself, so we both know each other's playing quite a lot. He was really keen. It was quite interesting working with him, because he was quite keen to develop his own vocabulary to get the system to have a pool of material that he could work off in performance that said something to him. So it was almost like he was fashioning, this pseudo version of his own, musical ideas.
And so it's as if you're performing with yourself.
Well, in a way, yeah. And what was interesting is that, he chose some material that he wanted to work with, and kind of subversively, I'd also throw in some other pieces of material that I'd recorded in previous sessions, and that things that were analysed from even other performers on the disc as well, just to kind of liven things up. So the software, autonomous. By autonomous, really, what I mean is it's working by itself. I'm not controlling the software, and the performance doesn't have foot pedals. They don't have faders. They don't have any controls, really. The way that it interacts with a musician is is that it makes these comparisons, and then it kind of goes off on its own tangent, and the musician interacts with that. So it's a bit of a feedback loop kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Because we were just, I have here two improvisers in the studio with me, Dan Cordick and Ed Lucas, and we were just...
Hi.
Hello, hello.
Hello, Ben.
So we were just discussing before that that in the beginning I was kind of a little bit skeptical about him improvising with a computer program, because for me improvisation has always been the interaction between people, between two or more people.
Yeah,
so I'd be just interested to know what, but after listening to the album, I was kind of converted, because I really do like the album. I think it's a really great output. And I think, Daniel, you were saying that you couldn't really tell.
Yeah, I couldn't really tell, like, whether there's a couple of people playing, or it's just one person and computer, which is really great.
Yeah, right.
Although it's like... We're getting lonelier now.
Yeah. No, look, I mean, I think that's an interesting thing, because I think, I mean, the whole idea of, I mean, I do sit there and question myself sometimes about this software. I mean, we are quite solitary creatures a lot of the time with technology, and the very idea of improvisation as being something that is collaborative.
Yeah,
you're collaborating with other people, and you know, whether that be in real time or having, you know, improvised jams across the internet, which some of my colleagues are doing, you're still working with another person. And I think the thing that's interesting about this, as I question myself about it, sometimes I think that, all right, you know, if someone like Josh or yourself or someone else were to be playing with this system, is it them playing with a machine, or is it them playing with myself, or is it them playing with themselves? I think there's this really weird hybrid that happens when you kind of put your own ideas into a computer and let it off on its own course. So I do see it as a really kind of collaborative endeavor and something quite human, even though it is a machine that's making its own decisions, and I don't have any control over what happens in performance.
In a sense, it feels like it's kind of human once removed, because obviously there is the human input into the programming and the human input in sort of developing the computer's language before it can go off on its own. So you can have this, I mean, there is definitely this sort of human input without which it couldn't function, or if the input was different, it would function differently.
I definitely see it like that. I mean, I've been thinking about that a lot recently, this kind of idea of a, you know, an author or a programmer in proxy, you know. I mean, for me, what's been really interesting is that I'm also a player. I'm a saxophone player, and so initially the whole development of the system was, okay, I've been interested in playing with electronics, and as an instrumentalist, what does that actually mean? I mean, if you've got an instrument in your hand and you've got a computer or any kind of electronics on the table next to you, then you have to balance some kind of competing priorities. And for me, it was, okay, well, how can I do something naturally? And for me, that meant playing an instrument, but also interact with some kind of electronic sound world that is in some way cognizant about what I'm doing, rather than me just pressing a loop or me adding effects to my sound. So in that way, yeah, no, I think when that gets transplanted into the way that another musician plays with it, there's definitely part of me in there, for sure. But seeing what other musicians are doing with it, and the requests that they have as well to I guess, put into the software things that they think don't work for them, and that's why I wanted it to be as open as possible, and for other people to have their own input into how the machine kind of worked on stage.
I totally see your point. I think it's a very interesting sort of ambivalent, ambiguous territory, potentially making the poor electronic performer obsolete. Unless you're playing an analog synthesizer or something similar, I suppose.
I mean, I quite like.
I do see your point. Sorry, go on.
Yeah, I quite like the fact that actually it really raises this question, like, about improvising itself. Like, is it something?